Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening. This is Davisville on KDRTLP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. You can find us online anytime at kdrt.org/Davisville. I'm Bill Buchanan. I'm your host. Thank you for tuning in today. Well, if you're like me, you might be wondering what has happened this year to food relief. I don't mean the organizations and volunteers who help feed people. They seem to be doing much more than usual. I mean the conditions they're working under, that they're working with. The sector was hit by the Trump administration's funding cuts for nonprofits near the start of the year. More recently, there's been additional upheaval with the federal government shutdown, which threw SNAP benefits into question. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. In California, we know it as CalFresh. We used to call it food stamps. Point is, that's the federally funded program that helps low-income people get at least a minimal amount of food each year. 12% of Americans, by the way, use SNAP, and about 12% in Yolo County, according to KCRE-TV. That works out to about 9,400 Yolo County households. With SNAP curtailed, people who rely on it have to find food someplace else. Well, the shutdown has ended, although the federal rules governing who qualifies for SNAP benefits are getting tighter. Meanwhile, we're all living with inflation, which is driving costs higher. The job market is uncertain, if not weakening. Tariffs add economic confusion. Conflicting court rulings create moving targets as to what to expect, who's paying for what, when, and how, and under what conditions. And through all this, of course, people have to eat. If you can buy your own food, you're doing fine, maybe even doing well. But if you can't buy your own food, what do you do? If there's a silver lining here, maybe it's that the attention, particularly the fight over the SNAP money during the shutdown, makes this basic need to feed people more visible, makes hunger relief efforts more visible. Maybe some good can come from that attention. Our guests today on Davisville work in local food relief from two different organizations, the Short-Term Emergency Aid Committee, commonly known as STAAC, and the Night Market. STAAC, based in Davis, helps people who have incomes below the poverty line, and the assistance from STAAC includes distributions from its food pantry. The Night Market is a group of volunteers who gather or receive surplus food and give it away at Central Park at 9 p.m. on weekdays. Leanne Moody, Executive Director of STAAC, and Max Morgan from the Night Market are our guests today. Max and Leanne, thank you for joining us. We're talking by Zoom.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us again.
Okay, I've just laid out this lengthy introduction where I make the case that I think 2025 has been an odd year for food relief, with the pressure on SNAP benefits, the latest expression. But what I'd like to know most is what you guys make of this year's event from your perspectives. Leanne, do you want to start?
Sure. I mean, it has been a difficult year, I think, for nonprofits in general. You alluded to a lot of the issues that we've been dealing with. And I think the bigger issue kind of is thinking about it as a whole. We all work on different parts and fill different parts of the food security map, and we rely on each other to fill those needs. And I think there's just been so many things that have affected so many organizations, whether it's a lack of public funding, those who get public grants, those grants have pretty much disappeared for the time being. On the plus side, I would say we have seen a lot of people giving, many more people. We just had a really successful food drive. We just had some amazing people coming forward. So when in terms of supporting each other in our community, I think we're doing a good job. But I think as a system as a whole is in a difficult place and trying to figure out how we're going to meet the basic needs that people rely on our safety net programs for.
And Max, how about you?
So we are in a very different situation being a volunteer-run organization. So the funding cuts affect us more indirectly. So for us, I'm going to go further back, and I think Leanne probably would be able to talk a lot about this. The cuts that affected the food bank affected us dramatically, because even though we didn't get food from the food bank, when less people were getting food from the food bank, they were coming to us in much larger numbers. And I don't know if it happened with Leanne, but it can happen with us, where we try to operate from a position of abundance, and we've had nights where we've noticed more aggression with people trying to get the food because there's more fear of how much is going to be there. That's one of the biggest things. We've luckily had some partnerships to help us get additional food. Once the SNAP benefits looked like they were being cut, the co-op started an emergency food drive for us, which has been wonderful. We actually just had an event last night with the Sikh Student Association, who brought us a bunch of care packages. We have another group on campus for the mental health initiative who's doing a care package for us. The Sikh Student Association at UC Davis, where we'd had a volunteer who was with us last year, who I had not seen for about a year, who I saw about 10 days ago. And I was super excited to see him again. And I was pretty sure he was Sikh. So I'm like, hey, let me check, because I've been wanting to incorporate that club within night markets. So I'm like, hey, I know part of the religion is giving away food. Would you guys be interested in partnering with us? And the second I said that, I said, oh, we're doing this drive. We would love to go work with you. That's part of, I think, what Leanne's saying too, is the community is really wanting to step up and help out. And I can go the other thing, which has been good for us, which is, I think, the useful part of being a volunteer organization is our numbers of volunteers have skyrocketed, because I think a lot of people understand what this moment is and want to join in to help us out. So that has been a silver lining.
One of the reasons I was interested in talking with each of you about this is because you are on different parts of local food relief. Although steak also had sort of an organic start, if you go back far enough, it has become an ongoing organization. You do have some paid staff to keep it all going. The night market is more recent, and you're all volunteers and you operate differently. Let's talk about that just for a minute, without going into the whole history of it. But Leanne, how does steak work? And then Max, I'm going to ask you the same thing about the night market, including why you give away food at night. But Leanne, tell us about steak.
So way back in the day, we were mutual aid, much like the night market is. We have neighbors coming together to help neighbors, but that was in 1967. And so since we've grown, we do get public grants, not so much anymore, but we used to. Our area of food relief, our major thing is we run the pantry in Davis, as you mentioned. So we provide groceries to individuals and families. It's meant to be 5 days worth of food for each family member. So you would go and you would get meat and eggs and canned food and everything you might need if you go into the grocery store. And we do that by purchasing as much as we can from the food bank. So the food bank is the distribution center. They receive food, hopefully, from places like Walmart or from big stores. They have the ability to store that food, and then agencies like ours go and they have a mark, they have a store that we go and we purchase as much as we can from them for 29 cents a pound. So that's where we get most of our food. We also run food drives. Like I said, one of our missions is to engage the community in supporting people and understanding what poverty looks like. So we continue to do food drives and get people engaged in doing that. We have some other programs that deliver food to school children or to seniors who have trouble getting to our food pantry. We do do income verification, so we do are looking to support those who have the lower incomes. And that's another thing that would make us different, I think.
Yeah, and I should just mention quickly the food bank you both referred to, that's the Yolo Food Bank. And
Correct.
yes.
food banks in general are sort of part of the California infrastructure, this sort of thing, right? A lot of counties have them. They become sort of a central clearinghouse. They also operate as nonprofits and with paid staff and so on. But the point is they collect a lot of food and then work with others to get it out. All right, so Max, how do you guys work, and
So,
why do you give away at night?
a couple of reasons. First off, is when we get the food. So, for example, like Village Bakery will give us pizza and bread, but they don't close till 9. Or Sophia's often gives us rice and they give it to us at 9:30. So that's partially just a logistical reason. Another big thing which I talk about is we are in many ways a third space, because I can look in Davis from 9 to 11, there's not really a sober third space that's welcoming to everyone. So we have a lot of people who are homeless or just people who want to be in a place where there's no alcohol. And that's a big deal to me. So that's why I say it's like, I think that is a slightly different role of we're not able to provide the amount of food of a steak, a Yolo Food Bank, or many other organizations that have much larger financial capacity. So we're trying to provide a community space as much as the food space. I almost will say the food is the carrot, the community is the even bigger goal.
One thing the night market does that we can't do is, I mean, we have a small pantry area and we have some freezer capacity, but the food is fresh, right? The food is, it needs to be eaten correct or it needs to be stored. And we just don't have the ability to do that. So the night market is getting food that would otherwise just go to waste out to people.
Yeah, that's right, because you collect from restaurants and bakeries and stores, like food stores basically, that at the end of the day they have food that they haven't sold. Rather than throw it away, it's still good. They get it to you and you give it out.
Yeah, so let me go. I can clarify that a little more. So we're able to get, and I think Leanne said this really well, food away immediately, which is a different, we almost use the term we're hyper local. And there are a whole lot of taxing issues to that because we really actually operate 7 days a week. We actually pick up from both Kim's Mart and Village Bakery on the weekends. and we'll bring it to the community refrigerator. I'm always careful how much I advertise it because the amount of food can change week to week. But the logistics can be tough. And that's why for us, having additional volunteers makes life so much easier. That's the one big silver lining.
You pointed out something there that I think is interesting about the night market. If people haven't heard about it, that's partly by design, right? The idea is you give away what you have every night, but you don't want to disappoint people. So the last thing you want is a lot of people coming looking for food that isn't there. And it sounds like maybe you've had a little bit of that.
We've had more of it, and it's something which is a difficult thing sometimes to tell our volunteers who want to advertise extensively. It's like we don't know what we're going to have on a given night. If we know we're going to have a lot of food, we'll use our Instagram to advertise the amount of food. So just logistically, it's a very different situation at stake where I imagine to a certain degree, you're already well aware of what you have before you do a distribution.
So I'm hearing from both of you, you're getting like more donations, more volunteers in the case of the night market. I think you've both said demand is up. How else have things changed from, say, a year ago, or have they? And answer that any way you like in terms of how many people you're seeing or what their needs are or anything else that you've noticed about how this year maybe is
Is
different.
it, if I give a little bit of context, though, and I'm wondering what Leanne would say, because to me, the current issue wasn't this year. It really started in 2022 with the end of the pandemic era aid. That after that, it really has felt things have never stabilized.
So you're saying this year it has the conditions you've described, but you take it farther back. You're saying the end of the pandemic aid, that was the extraordinary government aid basically that was to help people through the pandemic.
I can at least speak anecdotally, like, before 2022, we never had people, except for a brief period when COVID just started, say, this is how we're surviving. And I've had that routinely happen since.
Leanne, what do you think? Is this year all that different, or has this been going on for a few years?
I mean, I wouldn't say this year isn't different because it has been kind of extraordinary the number of ways in which trying to support people with low income or who just do not make enough money to meet basic necessities, there just continue to be more things coming at us. So I wouldn't say it's different, but there has been increase in food insecurities since 2020. Like it just continues to increase. And I do think the pandemic put aid in place that really helped, and that aid has been slowly going away. We both, like we say, we rely on the food bank, and the food bank has less and less food for us. And that means if you're going to have food, you need to purchase it or you need to have other places. So we've been looking for different ways to source the food that we need. And the food also just gets more expensive, right? Like this for both our families and then for us to get in order to supply it. Yeah, I think it's both and the public safety nets are so the SNAP and the WIC and the school lunch, like those things are the things that make a difference for so many families. And when those go away or the work restrictions mean every 6 months we have our unhoused individuals having to requalify that with work requirements, like I just see it going off, getting even worse as things continue.
I can do a quick station ID. We are talking with Max Morgan from the Night Market in Davis and Leanne Moody, the executive director of the Short-Term Emergency Aid Committee. We're talking basically about food relief in our area, our community at the end of 2025. I'm Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville on KDRT 95.7 FM, kdrt.org/Davisville. Do you either of you feel that you're able to keep up with demand? I mean, demand is greater, but you've got more volunteers, maybe more donations. And if you aren't keeping up with it, can you help quantify that? Like, how short are you falling from meeting the need? It's not a precise number, I'm sure, but I'd love to get your sense of it.
I have a weird approach to this where I think the actual demand is much higher than ever is being captured. I look at food insecurity as anyone who feels uncomfortable about the price of food. And when you look at that, it's gigantic. So if everyone who felt that way, or potentially more insecure, was coming to all of these services, they would run out of food right away.
Yeah, although that would be a large number. I mean, I don't think anybody's terribly happy with the price of food these days. It comes up a lot.
Let me be more explicit with that, sorry.
And that's
It
ahead.
is, it's causing consternation. So, like, if you are feeling to the point when it's causing significant stress to afford food, you're very close to needing aid. And that's almost why, like, this demand is much bigger than I think is even being accounted for.
And do you see signs of that really much larger demand at the night market, or are you mostly seeing people when they get
I'm seeing
more?
some of the demographics of the people coming too. So, like, for example, there's been a family where the primary household breadwinner made about $90,000 a year and said, I can barely survive because he had kids and his wife wasn't working. So it's like, okay, I can figure, okay, that's a significant salary. And if he's struggling, how are other people doing?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think a lot of people would hear a $90,000 salary and think you can make it on that, at least afford food and, a place to live.
And that's why I bring that up. It's this $90,000 a year. He had two kids and a wife and was actually working two jobs and feeling he can barely make it. So that's why I can look at, like, okay, anecdotally, if we're seeing that, this problem is much bigger than what's being reported.
Of course, now at the night market, you don't ask questions, right? I mean, you might hear that, people might volunteer, but basically anybody can come. And Leanne, you do check, you have income requirements, right? Because that's part of your program. Someone has to qualify under the poverty line.
Correct. So we do everything by appointment. And so the people come through a referral agency where they do an income verification. But I think I would agree with Max in that there are many people, basically it's an affordability, it's income issue that people, the first thing that you, when people don't have enough money, they try to save money on food. And really it has a lot to do with housing in California. Housing prices are huge and they take up a huge amount of people's budgets. And so the number of people who are unhappy or experiencing trouble with putting enough healthy food on the table is probably much, much larger than what we either he or I saw or see on a regular basis. We've had about, in the last month, we've had about three times the number of appointments that we normally see or we normally have space for. We are right now able to meet that need. So we're looking at how it's going to go going forward. But that's so far we've had a lot of people stepping up and I think it's worked out really well. We're very happy that we're able to meet the need that we've seen. But I agreed with Max that there is more need than we're actually aware of right now.
The three times more caseload that you're seeing, do you get a sense that they will all qualify? I mean, are these people who would normally qualify by your standards?
Yes.
So that's not just three times more people feeling the need. These are people who will qualify by your objective poverty level standards.
Right. And are coming more often or need it. So usually we limit people to once a month. And this, because people weren't getting their SNAP benefits, which is their grocery budget for the whole month, we're having them come more than once, allowing them to come more than once.
So, what do you both think is happening here? I mean, you work in food relief. You've seen a lot of different kinds of economies. It goes up, it goes down. There's the pandemic. What do you think's happening?
I can be completely blunt, and I don't know if Leanne feels the same way. It almost feels like you're fighting a wave that you can't conquer, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's like, yes, this year, I agree, is a giant crest, but I can look like, okay, I've been doing this since 2019, and the problem just keeps getting worse.
Leanne?
I mean, I would say, like I said, I think this is about people not making enough money to support themselves. Food is the first place where you compromise, particularly healthy food, when you're trying to get a family by with not enough money. So some months we have families who only come maybe once, and then don't come for another 6 months because that was the month when they didn't get enough hours and they just literally did not have anything past what they had to pay their rent that month. Or utility bills are crazy sometime during the summer and then suddenly you need food relief. So it's all really a symptom of the fact that people aren't making enough money to support themselves. And as food prices get higher, that becomes even harder. So yeah, I think it's a larger issue about whether we have in place what we need to support families. Like I said, those safety nets, they lift many, many people out of poverty. As you can see, when they get paused, that it becomes a huge problem. But we really need to think about how we can better support people so that hunger is never an issue.
A couple of things I'm going to ask in a minute what each of you would like to see happen, maybe to try to help the problem. But Leanne, I'm also struck by, one of the reforms that the Congress and the Trump administration wanted was to put work requirements on or utility bills. I read an article about this. You're allowed a certain amount of credit towards a utility bill if you're receiving these benefits. But my point is, you are actually checking these things already, and you're finding more people who qualify. That just strikes me because the argument is, oh, there's all this waste and fraud, and it's going to get smoked out by simply requiring people to work. And I'm sure there are people, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure there are people who game the system. There's people who game any system that any human's ever invented, seems to me. But my point is, you're already asking people for these things, and you're finding that, yeah, they do qualify.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the need is there. I think the idea that there's just this waste, that if we just eliminate the waste, then that's not their problems will go away. I don't think that's true. I think there's very large difference between incomes. There's incomes that are too low to support the cost of living, particularly in our area. And unless we address those, the food's just the beginning. So we also do rental assistance, and I'm expecting in a few months for our rental assistance evictions to go up. They're just it's all connected.
So what would you each like to see? I mean, if you could do one or two things that would really help, this problem can't go away, but reduce it, improve it, what would it be? Max, let's start with you.
I'm going to start with, because I think this is something night market can do, and I think it happens with Leanne a lot too. People to truly understand this problem, because I think so many people are living, because I can look like for my family who lives comfortably in LA, they're so far removed. If I talk to them about it, it looks like I'm talking a different language. So I want to actually go comment again on Leanne. It's an affordability problem more than anything. This it's not food security specifically. It's the fact that no one can afford to live in the city anymore. So you have to look at the question, and I've gotten involved in my own political activism of what to do about affordability in Davis. And those are a whole large series of topics which go way beyond the scope of this interview.
Okay. Well, is there anything that is within the scope of what you could do at the, I mean, is it just a you'd like to see more donations of food, more volunteers?
Let me be careful there. There's what to do about the short-term emergency or what to do with the longer-term problem. I say the short-term emergency, 100%. Any kind of aid you can give us, we can tell people, because one of the things that we can do is if you have an event and you have catered food, as long as you're maintaining proper temperature, we will gladly take it and then hand it away later, which is something that no organization in Yolo County is really doing, which has been one of the ways we've gotten some extra food. The other thing is if you have any packaged food you want to give us, you can always give us packaged food. That's why I say like that's a short-term problem. The longer-term problem, though, sadly, will still persist until some of these things are done.
Leanne, what would you like to see happen?
I mean, I think in terms of like helping people just getting through the short, I'll do Max's short term and long term. The short term, I think making it easier to get our people's SNAP, people's WIC, trying not putting problems in front of that. I mean, there's nothing that us and our food system, the philanthropy, the food system supported by philanthropy cannot take the place of these safety nets. We can only try to supplement. So I think that's the big priority, is making sure that these safety nets are supported and as easy to use and get to as possible. Yeah, I guess that's most short term and long term. One of the things we're trying to do is just we do a holiday program. We're getting out grocery cards. We're going to add more money into all of those grocery cards just to get more money out there into people's hands, and they can get them through this time. The holidays is always a time when people spend a little bit more, and we'd like to make that possible for people. But I think in the end of the day, what I would really love to see is that we just have a bigger focus in the community and about on the most vulnerable and making their incomes higher.
And you are getting volunteers and donations, each of you, more than before. And that was one of the questions I'd had, I was going to ask, and I think it's already answered now, but that how people were responding. I mean, people get numb from a lot of bad news. I'm not hearing that that's the response you're seeing.
I haven't seen that too much. I think we have an amazing community that really wants to take action. And that's one of the good things that organizations like mine and Max's can do, is that give you an opportunity to really do something. Like you have neighbors who have needs and you can support them in very small ways. Like it doesn't have to be a huge, I mean, we talked about some huge changes I'd love to see, but the thing we can all do is support each other. What can I do for someone I know personally, or what can I do through one of these organizations to make sure, at least in my local community, people aren't going hungry?
I've often wondered too if, I mean, in some sense, hunger is with us always, but it's also something that everybody understands at a very primal level. And there's lots of ways that people can participate in hunger relief. There's your organizations, but there's so many more. Anything, most churches have them. There's Grace Garden, Grace in Action. There's the Yolo Food Bank you've mentioned, Community Harvest, Meals on Wheels. I won't begin to try to name them all. And it seems to me that, people can argue, get involved in different issues, but this one seems so primal that you don't have to think about it a whole lot. If you feel moved to act, you can. There's ways to do it. All right. Well, we're very near the end. Where do you think this is headed in 2026?
I don't see it getting better in the short term because the current administration is not really friendly to the policies that we need in place. I know a lot of organizations are struggling, and it is a system. So we are all dependent on each other. We've talked about the food bank, and we've talked about how we all kind of fill different niches. And so if any of us are struggling, it hurts the whole system. So I think it'll be a while, hopefully, at some point, where we're able to make sure that the food bank is getting enough food, that they're able to bring enough food for all of the agencies that they support, and that we're able to now make a bite or a bigger bite into some of that need.
Max, 2026, what do you think?
There's a skeptic in me that's like, oh, this is going to keep getting worse. The one big optimist, which I think optimistic point, which I think Leanne has talked about and I've noticed too, is the way the community has stepped up to support as things have hit a whole another nadir has been really impressive. And I think I take a slightly different approach, at least with Night Market, because we're so much, all of our stuff is community centric. So looking at what we can do as a local community, so let's say, hey, are there guidelines? I'd even go as far to say within the Board of Supervisors that can be adjusted to make it easier to recover food. It's like, what can we do on a local level to increase the amount of food available to every kind of organization? Because nothing's coming from the federal government over the next year.
And Board of
And so,
Supervisors, that's the County Board of Supervisors, Yolo County Board of Supervisors.
I look at like that type of thing, or I'll put it to like the Yolo County Board of Supervisors can make a statement saying we want more community refrigerators,
Yeah.
and then making that statement would convince more people to do it. So simple, basic things that you can do on a local level, I think it won't solve the problem. It might even be window dressing, but it's like at least you can feel like you're doing something. Because, as Leanne said, and I completely agree, the federal government is not changing within the next year.
Yeah. I will say the night market. I talked with you a little over a year ago, and at that point, you were offering food, I think just one night a week on Thursdays.
So, on that point, we were still doing 5 nights a week, and
Okay.
we kept the weekend operations under wraps for a while because the exact amount of food was varying, but we've become pretty consistent with being able to get food on the weekends too, where it's not a lot of food. And so I guess it's like our niche is a very different niche.
I want to mention your websites for each organization. Steak is steac dot org, and the Davis Night Market is davisnightmarket.org, where people can learn more about what it is you're doing and look at some of the other aspects, perhaps, of what we've talked about today. But Max and Leanne, I want to thank you both for talking with us today on Davisville about this.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Always good talking to you again.
We've been talking with Max Morgan from the Davis Night Market and Leanne Moody, the Executive Director of the Short-Term Emergency Aid Committee. I am Bill Buchanan. This is Davisville, KDRT 95.7 FM, Davis, California, kdrt.org/Davisville online. Thank you for listening.